WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Greetings and welcome to WrestleSpective. I'm Jason Mann, and before we begin, I want to tell you a bit about our sponsor, RudoReels.com, which is a great place to get downloads and DVDs of wrestling from the US, Mexico, Japan, pretty much anywhere in which they have professional wrestling. So check it out for some great deals on wrestling, RudoReels.com. And my guest today, for the first time on the show, Derek Hernandez of No Coast Bias. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here. Definitely excited to interact with you on this.
All right, man. Yeah, we're talking about our main event of the day is the Raw Elimination Chamber match at No Way Out 2009. And the participants are John Cena, who was the World Heavyweight Champion, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio, Kane, Mike Knox, and a last-minute substitute for Kofi Kingston being the Rated R Superstar Edge in quite a controversial fashion, as a matter of fact. But basically, that was the story of the night, really. Edge losing the title in the first match, losing the WWE title in the first Elimination Chamber, the first match of the night, and then sneaking in here and making himself available to win the World Heavyweight Championship. So I'm not sure how the rule book would have felt about that, but apparently they were liberal about letting a guy go in there and do that, and that worked out pretty well for him.
Definitely, and if you can tell by the commentating, Cole and Lawler were definitely confused pretty much the entire match about the whole thing. So
yeah, which is the right way to play that. I mean, obviously you're doing something in which, there's no logical reason to allow it. It just sort of happens that way. So just kind of playing it up like everyone's confused and we're just going to kind of let it happen because whatever, that's, the best way, I guess, you could have that happen. So, basically, coming into this, Chris Jericho and John Cena had been feuding for a while. Jericho had been the heavyweight champion, but John Cena had beaten him for it at Survivor Series 2008. Kind of weird to see Cena with a big gold belt. You're used to him with the WWE title. I think this was really his only World Heavyweight Championship reign. Or I guess he regained it. But this 2008-2009 period is the only time he really had the world title, I believe.
I think you're right, actually. I'm just so used to seeing him with the spinner belt that it's definitely hard to see him with any other type of title. So
yeah, yeah. So, Rey Mysterio and Kane had issues in 2008. There was kind of the famous Raw angle where, Kane had been doing something disturbed. I think he had a paper bag, and at the very end of it, he reveals that he takes Rey Mysterio's mask out of it, and it's like, oh, what has he done to Rey Mysterio, kind of thing. And then they had a feud through 2008 or so. Kofi Kingston was, he just kind of been around. He was pretty much doing the same thing that Kofi Kingston has been doing for the past five or six or however many years he's been in WWE, just kind of around and, being the bouncy fellow. I think he was still maybe being a fake Jamaican at this point, but
I think he was, actually. I think he was in some sort of, if there was any type of push he was ever going to get, this was the closest he might have came to it, I think. But I did notice that they said he was from Jamaica, and I think now, on the last couple of Raw events, they've been calling him, or saying he was actually from West Africa. So
from Ghana, yeah. So was this, I'm trying to remember, was this after the Randy Orton thing, the feud he had with Randy Orton, or was this before then?
I think this was before then, because there was a pretty good period of time. Actually, no, I think it was actually right after that, because this is pretty much right in the heart of the Orton McMahon family thing, and I think that all that stuff happened before that.
Right, yeah, you're correct. So that was kind of the looked like the thing that he was going to be kind of his biggest thing as being the is getting involved in that feud with the Orton and then having that famous jumping off, I forget exactly what he jumped off of, like the stage or something, and went down on Orton, and it was just kind of a big spot. It looked like he was gonna kind of maybe become a bigger thing, but for whatever reason, that kind of got cut off pretty quickly. So, and Mike Knox was he was sort of the oddball here because he'd was not really a guy who you realistically could see winning this match. I mean, the other guys, Kofi was a long shot, but at least he was kind of popular, and the other guys had all held world championships, so it wasn't out of the realm possibility for any of them to win. But Mike Knox was lower level guy, but he had some potential. I mean, he was a big guy. He had sort of changed his look, had that huge beard and that stringy hair, and won a battle royal to get into this. So, he was always kind of a guy who had some potential, but I think sort of he had sort of a lame first couple of years that sort of made people kind of think that he wasn't much of anything. And then when he got better, it was kind of too late to change fan perception of him.
Yeah, I think for me, and I talked to you a little bit about this before the show, is, I'd actually watched this event live on pay-per-view, and I looked up and I saw the event, and it was Mike Knox, and for some reason I thought it was Snitsky, and they were calling him by his real name, and I know they were totally different characters, but you had the big guy with the big black trunks and things like that. He was forgettable for at least on my perspective, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, Snitsky was the creeper who I don't know. He was more of like the creepy guy who would like steal a girl's underwear or something like that, where Mike Knox is more like the verbally abusive type. So a different type of creepy, but but it's still a distinction there, I guess. So yeah, he won a battle royal to get into this, and then Kane is Kane. He was being hateful, and the entrances go. Cena's out first. Interestingly enough, no boos or very few anyway, which is odd to hear because usually Cena is booed at least by somewhat of a percentage of a crowd. This takes place in Seattle, Washington. So apparently, people in Seattle like John Cena.
Yeah, I guess. And I was actually shocked by that. I rewatched the show, and he really didn't get any heat until the end when him and Edge were going at it. But we'll kind of get to that point. So.
Sure. And then Knox is out, then Kane, and Kofi Kingston. But as we mentioned, he's attacked by from behind by Edge suddenly, tossed into the steps. Edge grabs a chair and then nails. But basically, there's a concerto with Kofi's head being on the steps, and then slides in, sneaks into the pod. And then this prompts Ray to come out without his music, runs out to help, calls for an EMT. Then he runs into the ring and he goes after Edge, who is hiding behind the pod door and sort of cowering in fear. Go ahead.
Yeah, when I was actually shocked that when Edge kind of just beat his way into the match, he actually got a pretty decent sized pop there. And when Ray was trying to get Edge out of the pod, it pretty much everything just stopped once Y2J's music hit, and they pretty much let Edge stay in the chamber after that.
Jericho comes out next as Kofi is helped away from the ring. He's not stretchered, but he's just helped, assisted by officials. And this point, the refs are all sort of pleading with Edge to leave his pod, but he refuses to do it. And they're just like, "Okay, we'll start the match now," but as you mentioned, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler did a nice job of giving a sense of chaos and a sense of we don't really know what's going on here, and we have to do the match, so we're just gonna kind of go with it, I guess. So.
Yeah, and the entire match, they were, even, they were just in disbelief. I'm calling a match with Rey Mysterio and Edge, can you believe it, from SmackDown. And
yeah, and this was still, and this was toward the end of this, but this was still when they were playing into Raw and SmackDown being strong separate entities. I mean, Raw was, it's clearly the number one show at this point, although they made an effort in 2008 with moving Triple H over and moving the WWE title over to SmackDown to kind of boost it up a little bit. And but you know, they went back to the old ways. Actually, pretty much this is kind of what led to that, moving back to Triple H being on Raw and feuding for the WWE title, and then Edge gaining the world title here and then taking it back to SmackDown. So.
Now, one of my big questions after these turn of events here, where Edge basically forces himself into the match, is why doesn't everybody do that from now on in every preceding elimination chamber? I mean, that's the big question that I have, since it worked for him.
Well, you know, maybe they boosted the fines or something. You know, I don't know. That's it's a good logic point. You know, you figure, or maybe they did, but they probably did. Maybe they explained that later. Like, you know, some sort of punitive action would be taken if you do that. Because yeah, it would seem like a good strategy to just kind of run out and beat the guy up. It'd be funny if like there was an elimination chamber where like you had six guys in, and then you had six other guys beating the guys, and the elimination chamber was six completely different guys by the end.
Oh man, I wouldn't even know how to wrap my head around that one.
So they just start. It's Ray and Jericho are the very first two. Jericho works a headlock for a bit, then Ray knees out of it. Jericho takes him down with a shoulder block and then does some nice gloating. Jericho, you know, for mostly, you know, obviously Jericho's pretty great, but one thing that he does better than almost anybody else is gloat.
Oh yes, oh yes. The come on, baby, and just looking at the crowd, he eats it up.
He's very good at it, yeah. So, and he was, you know, this was kind of in the midst of, you know, he returned in early 2008, kind of started, it was kind of bland as a good guy, then made a heel turn and had that great feud with Shawn Michaels and won the world title kind of out of nowhere. And then had that, you know, then finished that feud with Michaels. So he was kind of in the midst of, you know, these couple years, probably the best he ever was character-wise, and just kind of getting heat with the crowd and being consistently, you know, involved in the main events. You know, he'd been champion before. He'd always kind of been there, but this was kind of the point of his career in which he was really most brightly in the spotlight.
Okay, so you were a big fan of Sycophant Jericho.
Yeah, I think that's the character that he clicked the most with the audience was, and brought him the most success, and probably creatively was, you know, best or one of the best. You know, I've always kind of thought his WWE work before this, you know, a lot of good, but some periods where I didn't find him as enjoyable.
And since we're kind of on the point of Jericho right now, I found it shocking that there wasn't one mention that he had beaten Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock in the same night this entire match.
Yeah, they usually don't hesitate to bring that up, but they did not hear. So, I thought it was funny when when Jericho came back as a good guy. He even like brought up that talking point and said, you know, I used to be obnoxious and I used to, you know, bring up that I did that every time and nobody cares about it. And then like a few months later, he was, you know, bringing it up again. So it's always fun when the characters us you know randomly make that switch.
Definitely.
So anyway, Ray gets a leapfrog and an inverted monkey flip, some harsh kicks to Jericho's legs and chops, then a tilt-a-whirl head scissors, which leads to the 619, but Jericho moves out of the way, so Ray backflips him into him onto the chamber floor. So, and there's a lot of harsh, as you know, as usual in the elimination chamber, there's a lot of hard falls onto that floor, which cannot be fun. That those must hurt a considerable amount, or they appear to hurt a considerable amount. So, it's definitely, I think, one of the strongest things about the chamber is that bump, and obviously just the structure of the match with the countdowns and, you know, all that stuff.
Oh yeah, it definitely pulls in a lot of the good elements. I mean, you know, with the what makes the Royal Rumble so successful is the unpredictability, who's coming in next, the countdown, and like you mentioned, it's not hard to sell falling on that hard chamber floor because it's probably hurting for real.
Yeah. And you know, also plays into some of the elements of War Games as well. And you know, I was kind of billed at first as a combination of the Rumble, Survivor Series, and War Games. So obviously, it kind of pulls all kind of the cool things of each of those things. And yeah, I mean, the chamber really is, a good stipulation match. I think having two on the same show every year, I think kind of, I don't know, makes it a little bit less memorable. Although this year they actually did a nice job, as we mentioned, with the Edge story of using both of them and playing the one into the other. But for the most part, I just kind of feel like two is a little too many on a show.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that. Having two is, unless you can do pull in some sort of storyline with this, what happened at No Way Out 2009, it's really hard to keep that momentum going and the crowd into it. But I my biggest gripe has been the placement of the Elimination Chamber matches in terms of the WWE calendar. It seems like a weird placement in between or right before WrestleMania. It seems like the WWE loses a little momentum there. It stops the road to WrestleMania a little bit.
Yeah, kind of dilutes the Rumble. I agree. I would like it better, like in maybe like this kickoff to SummerSlam or something like that. I always thought, or at Survivor Series, it kind of would be a strong thing there. I just kind of feel like at this point, yeah, it's sort of a an odd fit. But so then Jericho's clothesline back in and grabs his knee. Rey misses a corner charge and slams his head really, really hard onto the glass. Just really, really harsh thing. Which you even get like we get a close up of Kane in which he looks even a little bit concerned. Although Lawler refers to it as a smile, so maybe I read that wrong, or maybe Lawler isn't very good at determining what a smile is. But
With Kane, I wouldn't blame him. So.
that was a harsh. That was definitely a harsh hit there. Jericho then gets two locks and a chin lock for a while. Rey eventually gets out, but then is backdropped hard into the steel floor. Then Jericho tries to teeter-totter Rey into the cage, but then Rey does a nice thing where he catches himself on the cage, climbs up, and then head scissors Jericho. Then gets the springboard seated senton for two. Very, very close to Jericho, always great at those near falls, at just kicking out right at the right last second for a last second near fall. Then Ray gets a countdown as or Ray gets a bulldog as we get to the countdown, and you see the four pods, and it was at this point that I noticed that that Knox, Kane, Cena, and Edge are all four-letter words.
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
And also, Mike and John, Knox and Cena's first names are all four-letter words too. So,
Good to know. This is going to be the four-letter word elimination chamber. That's how I'll remember this one.
indeed, yeah. So Kane is out next. He gets a big boot to Ray, then punches out Jericho. He tries to intimidate Edge for some reason, who's behind the pod, and then Jericho jumps on Kane's back. That does not end well for Chris, however. Then Kane side slams Ray for two. He slaughters Jericho in the corner with a bunch of punches. And then, interestingly enough, Kane comes off the ropes and lands a drop kick on Ray, but this is with Ray sitting on the mat. Like it's very, usually you see the short guy, doing the drop kick on the big guy who is on his knees or sitting down or whatever, but I've never seen a guy as big as Kane do that to a guy as small as Ray.
Yeah, that was probably the most impressive athletic feat that I've seen Kane do, I think. I know he tries to do the Undertaker catwalk on the ropes sometimes, but I thought that was pretty impressive by Kane.
Yeah, which is weird to think like kicking somebody that low is athletically impressive, but yeah, the timing of it was just was well done. So then Jericho goes after Kane for a bit, but that doesn't work out as well. Kane punches back. Clotheslines Jericho out, and he lands awkwardly on his ankle or his knee area. Seems to have hurt it there. And then Kane goes right after it. Then Ray attacks Kane as he's hanging on the ropes with a bunch of harsh punches and elbows to the ribs. Ray did a nice job here of making it look like he could hang with Kane on an offensive level, because obviously their size different makes that challenging, and they'd worked together quite a bit, obviously in 08 with their feud. But I thought that that was nice. That was sort of a subtle thing that that made that more believable than it normally would be.
Definitely, and I think that experience working with each other for that long probably played a part in that.
Sure.
It's either that or. Like Lawler called Ray at the time, he was a magician. I thought that was rather random, and he might have been just mesmerized by his work with Kane there, that you can make Kane look that good that he would call him the magician.
Yeah, or, you know, just, of course, you know, Ray has the high-flying things and all the exciting things as well. But then Ray attacks, or after that attack, then Kane charges in the corner, but Ray is able to hit a boot. Then Ray ends up turning a slide slam attempt by Kane into a reverse DDT, and Jericho misses the lion salt on Kane and runs into a big boot. So we're doing, you know, the first few minutes are pretty much all action, not really too much resting going on, just, you know, kind of bam, 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 like most WWE multi-man matches end up being. Kane and Jericho both end up on hanging on the ropes in the 619 position. Ray tries to go for it, but Kane ends up with both their throats in a chokeslam position. He chooses Ray, but then Ray's able to get him back into the 619 position and lands it. But then Jericho gets a code breaker, and then Ray head scissors Jericho onto the steel floor. And then Ray goes up on top of the pods and then hits the seated senton Kane for three. So Kane's taken a code breaker and then now the seated senton, and then is out of the match. So this reminds me of Kane in the first Elimination Chamber match, where he takes a bunch of finishers and gets knocked out of that match as well, which is a fairly common way to be eliminated. The Elimination Chamber kind of protects you from, you know, gives you an excuse to be eliminated if you've taken all those finishers.
Mm-hmm. And kind of on that point, that's going to play a big role in one of the later eliminations. But, yes, you know, especially for a bigger guy like Kane, you're probably wanting him to, at least if you're booking the match, want him to get eliminated by various finishers by multiple people. So
sure. So Ray's struggling with the knee hurting at the moment. The countdown happens and Mike Knox is next. He immediately boots Ray down. They mentioned, I guess part of the story is that he has been randomly beating up Ray a lot in some vicious attacks there, but I don't think it really led to anything significant, no pay-per-view thing or anything like that. Just a TV angle they were doing. Gets a slam and a big knee drop on Jericho for two. Fans are just interested in Mike Knox. It's sort of hard, as we mentioned, for people to realistically get into Mike Knox when he's just completely unbelievable as a guy who would win the match. You know, it probably had the same issue with the Raw Elimination Chamber match, which had Kozlov in it, although Kozlov had actually been sort of pushed as a more of a top level guy here and there in 2008.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and Kozlov's probably bigger problem was, I mean, the list of names he was going head to head with in that match was, you know, Edge, Jeff Hardy, Undertaker, Big Show. It was definitely hard to believe that he would get a bigger push than those guys in that match. So,
right. Yeah. So, and even, you know, even if you're not necessarily like an educated fan, I mean, you spend long enough watching wrestling, you kind of just get, you know, into its patterns and, you know, and get into the idea of like, oh, okay, well, this guy, you know, it just isn't at that level. It's just not going to happen, or it's highly, highly, highly unlikely to happen anyway. So, then there's sort of an odd moment where Knox, Jericho ends up backdropping him onto the steel floor, but Knox's timing is messed up a little bit on it. Then Knox catches Jericho off the ropes and slams his back onto the cage and tosses him again under the cage. He's doing a pretty good job of seeming pretty vicious in here. Then Ray jumps on Knox's back, but Knox slams him into the cage as well. Then hooks his foot onto the chains and then repeatedly slams Ray into the cage itself, which is pretty vicious thing for Ray to just be hanging there and for that to happen. Then he does a press slam on Jericho back into the ring. Ray comes off the ropes, scoots through Knox's legs. Knox is able to fend him off and grabs Ray into a backbreaker position. And then Jericho sneaks in, hits the code breaker on Knox, and gets the three while Ray is kind of grabbed there. So that was a pretty inventive finish, which is actually going to play into a later point of the match as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think throughout the match, I mean, I thought it was great in terms of having, you know, Jericho and Ray be the first two in there and last as long as they did, because they definitely showed some good chemistry, and I think their finishing moves actually worked well off each other. And I can't even remember if they've actually been a tag team before in ECW or WCW, but they definitely had some good chemistry.
Yeah, no, I don't think I don't recall Ray and Jericho ever being in a team together. Maybe like in a one-off thing, maybe in WCW. I don't think they were in ECW at the same time, or it was very little overlap in any case. But yeah, they did. I mean, obviously they had a lot of great matches together, so they had chemistry in that way. It'd be interesting to see them team or randomly be in a team together. I'm sure the matches would be great, obviously. So then the countdown happens, and next out is Edge. Ray goes after him inside the pot, slams his head repeatedly in it, still mad about his friend Kofi Kingston being beaten up, tosses him in the ring, does a springboard potty press, and then Jericho cuts Ray's attack off with a clothesline. Jericho hits a back suplex on Ray, and then Edge attacks and Jericho, and then they kind of go at it. Jericho gets a bulldog on Edge, so everyone's attacking each other now. Ray attacks Jericho, but is cut off by the elbow. The lion salt hits Ray's knees. Then Edge hits Jericho with one of his Edge pun moves, which I can never keep track of the Edge pun moves, but it's the one where he grabs the guy's head from behind and pulls it down between his legs.
Is that the execution?
That might be the execution, or the educator. There's a lot, like I said, all the Edge pun moves. I can't keep track of them, but it's that one. Slams the guy's head down. That's the one. So, then Edge tosses Ray face first in the turnbuckle. He sets up the spear, but Ray gets a leapfrog. Jericho tries the codebreaker this time, but Edge grabs the ropes. Then Ray sets up a 619 on Edge, but Jericho cuts it off, kind of playing off nicely off some previous sequences there. Jericho lifts Ray onto the top rope, but Ray punches out of it. Edge also climbs to the top, and then Jericho sunset flips Edge, who also grabs Ray in a German suplex and comes crashing down. So that one was a little bit stretched the edge of believability for me.
It kind of developed a little too slow as well, and I expected a bigger pop from that from the crowd after that happened, but I think in highlight packages it looks a lot nicer than it did when you actually watch the match.
Yeah. So, and I have to say Ray's been pretty amazing. I mean, they've all been good, but Ray in particular has been pretty amazing in this match, both with his bumping and able to convey kind of the viciousness on offense. That's been good. And of course Jericho has been great, and Edge, you know, he's only been here for a bit, but he stands out later, certainly, particularly the finishing sequence. Edge tosses Jericho onto the steel, and there's another big thump on that. We get the countdown and a big pop for John Cena coming out. Cole describes him as a bull coming out of the chute. The camera focuses on him waiting for the glass to move, which is coming out, which is a pretty cool shot that they have. So there's a shoulder block on Edge, clothesline on Jericho, suplexes on both, bulldog on Edge. Jericho's tossed out. Then Edge gets hit with the proto bomb. Cena surveys the crowd, which at this point is mixed despite all the cheers. He does the five knuckle shuffle for two. He gets Edge into the FU position, but then Jericho hits him with the code breaker. Cena ends up draped on the ropes, and then Ray hits him with a 619, and then Edge comes out of the corner to nail Cena with a spear, and that's the three count. In less than 2 minutes, John Cena is eliminated to the absolute crazy shock of the crowd.
It's for me, that's one of the moments I remember in all of my years of watching wrestling. It's definitely hard to shock people nowadays, and I was genuinely shocked when I saw that happen. And Edge sold that pretty dang well as well.
And Jericho too. Yeah, their disbelief on what just happened is pretty amazingly cool. You don't get that happen. And there was another good shock, or of course earlier. In the first chamber where within 2 to 3 minutes of the beginning of the match, Jeff pins Edge with, I believe, a small package or something along those lines. So very quickly. So yeah, they did a nice job of tossing in a couple of surprises. But then again, you know, Cena was hit by three finishers, so you know, makes sense. It doesn't really, you know, hurt him, you know, so to speak.
Definitely. And if he would have, you know, obviously kicked out of that, you would have heard a lot of groans for the Super Cena or whatever they call him when he does that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and of course, Cole and Lawler are, you know, playing into the question of whether Edge really should be allowed into this kind of thing. Still going on about that. So now we're down to the three of them again. Ray fights them off, gets a dropkick on Edge, a Rana on Hurricane Rana on Chris Jericho, then a head scissors on both into the 619 position, which lands on Jericho. Then Ray sends Edge into the post. Ray springboards into a Hurricane Rana attempt, but Jericho tries to lock in the Walls of Jericho. Then Ray ends up rolling through and then gets the pin to eliminate Jericho, which is a nice nice finishing sequence there.
Definitely. And at this point in the match, things are moving fairly quickly. And then, you know, once they get to Edge versus Ray at the end, I thought it was going to end a lot quicker, which I think is why, and you'll get into this here in a bit, of why Ray was getting such huge pops for all the near falls that he got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Edge gets in the spear position. He waits for Ray to slowly get up. It takes almost 30 seconds, and he misses the spear. Ray roll up, almost gets a three, and then comes off the top with a springboard twisting body press by Edge, by Ray on Edge, gets a two. Then Edge gets a sunset flip, which looks very, very comical given how deceptively tall Edge is as opposed to Ray, of course, who's very small. But Ray gets a kick to the head for another two. Very close near falls. We've got 619 chance. Then Ray goes for a moonsault. It gets caught by Edge, but then Ray spins out of it with a DDT and another near fall. And you can hear Lawler and Cole like getting excited. Lawler even screams, "Cover him again." Like they're really getting invested into this. And I don't know if they're just doing a really good job as announcers or if they're just like really into the emotion of this, but everyone is definitely going crazy at this point. You know, the crowd, the announcers, it's a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah. At that point, I thought Lawler was more or less breaking his character there, because he did seem genuinely excited for Ray at that point.
So, and they're sort of rooting for Ray because Ray's a Raw guy and Edge is a SmackDown guy, and they're sort of anti-SmackDown still. It's part of it, at least. But yeah, I mean, I think they're just excited for what's going on. Ray heads to the top, and then Edge kicks him off, Ray landing very hard on the steel floor. Edge tries to powerbomb Ray, but then Ray's able to hit the X-Factor, grabbing his head, driving it to the floor. Then Ray follows with the 619, but landing on the back of Edge's head instead of his face.
Or what Lawler calls the 916.
Yes, exactly. Ray and Cole sort of laughs at that. Is like, okay, that'll work, you know, between the two. They actually did a pretty good job on commentary here. I mean, if you compare this to Michael Cole in his heel persona, this is so much more enjoyable than that.
Oh yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I went into the, you know, just reviewing this match again, and, you know, I'm like, oh, it's Lawler and Cole. And it's just so refreshing to just have him just commentating and, you know, not trying to play a character per se.
Right. And I think the Cole Hill character was actually a fun reinvention for a little while, but when it dominated the commentary quickly, got very wary, obviously. But Ray leaps onto Edge, but is thrown head first into the pod. Another hard hit into the pod. And then Edge is able to nail the spear and goes for the cover, and that's it. The count of three, and the match is done. Edge is the World Heavyweight Champion again. I think this is the eighth time, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right. And I think after that point, Raw obviously was left with no champion at that time.
Cole and Lawler are in disbelief. They scream, "Edge is from SmackDown." It's like, do we not have a title? You know, is that not going to happen? What's the, you know, what's going on here? But eventually, it would sort itself out as Triple H would win the WWE title, sort of take it back to Raw, and actually, this would lead to a Triple H, or excuse me, this would lead to a three-way with John Cena, Edge, and Big Show at WrestleMania, which Cena would regain the world title, and then Edge would get it back at Backlash, and then permanently take the world title back to SmackDown. So that, and then Edge would lose it to Jeff Hardy in the June pay-per-view. And then would go out with an injury and then return as a good guy in the 2010 Rumble. So less than a year later, he came back from this point, he came back as a good guy. In fact, I was at that the 2010 Rumble and saw Edge come back and win it, and it was a pretty cool moment to watch live.
And I think he was kind of a surprise entrant at the time, wasn't he? Wasn't he around the 29th or 28th entrance, or was he the last one like Cena was the year before?
He was definitely like 26, 27, 28, somewhere around there.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a big surprise and it was a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, I guess people thought, you know, maybe he'll come back or maybe somebody would come back, but it was definitely a cool deal. So yeah, so Ray and Edge, obviously, those last 5 minutes, really exciting. And they also had a really, really exciting 2011 chamber match as well. Like the two of them had like a really long sequence. I forget if it was at the beginning or if it was at the end or maybe both, but they had a really great performance there as well. And they never really, I don't really remember them having a significant singles feud. So just kind of find that interesting.
Definitely. I think it would have worked out pretty well. They obviously showed some, you know, some chemistry in these bigger matches here.
And they were tag champions at one point too in 2002. So they had definitely had a history with each other, but yeah, they didn't really have, I don't recall a standout singles match between them, but they had that great they had the great elimination, the end of that elimination chamber match, like the last 9 minutes or so, where they had like a lot of near falls and a lot of fun things going on. So
And this was actually one of my I'm, you know, a huge Edge fan. He's one of my favorites of all time, and obviously this is going to rank pretty high up there in terms of my elimination chambers. So
it's an exciting one. You know, it's really well done. It kind of showcases the you know, the best stuff out of the elimination chamber, has some good surprises, ones that make sense, other than of course them allowing Edge to you know, be in the match. But we'll just have to go ahead and put that one aside, I think, and just you know, although, you know, I'm a little, I think the story, they kind of rehashing the Edge and Cena and Big Show feud. So they added kind of a twist with Edge and Big Show both fighting over Vicky Guerrero at this point. But I just kind of felt like that, I don't know, that didn't really do Cena that many favors. It was kind of an odd few months for Cena, you know, up until that summer where, you know, people think of Cena being sort of the dominant guy all the time for the past 6 or 7 years, but there have been periods where he's been emphasized more than other times. And this kind of 2009, he sort of took a backseat to Triple H for a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I think that was because of the big Orton versus McMahon family slash Triple H feud. And I don't think anybody stood a chance against that feud, at least for attention wise.
Exactly. Yeah. But even like in 08, when, you know, they had a singles feud and Triple H won that one pretty cleanly. And there's sort of been time where, you know, yeah, we're seen as been at least behind Triple H in the scheme of things, if not, you know, other guys, maybe Orton on occasion here or there. But yeah, obviously that hasn't been the case in a while. Since pretty dominant for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years especially, and you know, overall certainly he's been the number one guy for, you know, since 05. But yeah, they're, you know, when you look at the details, you kind of realize, oh yeah, you know, Cena lost 2 minutes in an elimination chamber match. How, you know, how do I reconcile that? So, you know,
Cena haters don't want to hear the facts, Jason.
Exactly. No, they don't like that. But that's why we do the show, presenting the facts.
I'm not the biggest Cena fan myself, but I do notice some things like that as well. And he definitely puts people over when he has to. And I got to give him credit for always, when it's time for him to be the guy again, he's right there working every week. So.
Yeah, definitely. Derek, is there anything you want to let listeners know about what you got going on?
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. I'm like was mentioned at the beginning of the show. I'm the founder of NoCoastBias.com. And we do cover a lot of wrestling there. We like to cover a little bit more, and this is definitely a step in the right direction. I've been a big fan of WrestleSpective.com and Jason's work for a while. This is definitely something we're excited to be a part of.
Well, great. Thanks, Derek. Of course, are you on your Twitter as well?
Yeah, I actually am. My Twitter account is at NCB underscore Derek, Derek. You can also check us out on Facebook too. It's just facebook.com/NoCoastBias. And there's plenty of good stuff there. We have a great team of writers, and we cover a lot of topics that align with the show.
Well, sounds good. Appreciate you being on the show, of course, and a great discussion. Appreciate that, of course, and everyone can check us out at retrospective.com, also on Facebook and Twitter, and keep listening and check out our sponsor again, RotoReels.com, for great deals on wrestling downloads and DVDs. So thanks everyone again for listening, and we'll be back again.